Welcome back to The Pulse. I'm Todd Bookman, filling in for Mike and Scott. We're talking about temperature on the show this week. Temperature, of course, already plays a big role in medicine. We monitor fevers, we store a lot of drugs in refrigerators, and then there are the plenty of other ways that we apply cold and hot to our bodies. And Pulse reporter Irina Zhurov is here to talk about that. Hey, Irina.
Hey, Todd.
So you grew up in what was then the Soviet Union, where I gather they took their cold baths pretty seriously.
Yeah, so in Russian culture, there's a term for this, закаление. It's the practice of teaching yourself to endure increasingly cold baths as a way to strengthen yourself. So, like, if you took cold showers and jumped into frozen lakes in the winter, it improved your immune system, made you stronger and have, you know, better endurance. And it wasn't restricted to athletes. Lay people did this too, but it was especially for athletes who, in many ways, were the sort of face of Soviet strength.
But I imagine this tradition predates sort of Cold War Olympian bravado, right?
Yeah, I'm guessing it started out as a religious celebration. So the Epiphany, when Jesus was baptized in the Orthodox Church, it's celebrated in January in the dead of winter. And water on that day is considered holy. People go down to the water, they cut holes in the ice, get in the nearby rivers, and it's all to sort of purify. Of course, religion was not really allowed during the Soviet era, so cleansing turned to strengthening, but the winter bathing stayed.
So is this something you did when you were a kid to prove your moxie?
Maybe not to prove my moxie, but I was a ballerina briefly, and I thought this would make me like a stronger, better ballerina, and I took cold showers for a while.
Did it work?
I was never very good. So no, maybe my cold showers were not cold enough. But I do remember, you know, the year after we moved to the States in 1993, there was this huge blizzard. I was sleeping over at a Russian friend's house, and her parents were strict enforcers of this cold regimen. So in this blizzard, we put on shorts and we went for a run around the neighborhood, barefoot, probably also to the horror of her American neighbors.
But today, I mean, top athletes still use cold therapy, right? I mean, after practice, they'll jump into an ice bath. Football teams do this, track athletes. It seems like it's a pretty ubiquitous thing.
Yeah, though the science behind it is still a bit murky. I wanted to learn more, and I wound up at Temple University on the sidelines of their men's soccer team's first practice. 30-some student athletes are kicking around soccer balls in intense, muggy heat. After nearly 2 hours, an athletic trainer for the team, Kendall Stewart, walks away towards a nearby building. Out back is an ice cooler.
These are 40-pound bags of ice. You grab six of them, probably seven, cut them open, and then dump them in the tub.
He empties the bags into a tub out front. It's a little black stock pool filled with water. The team will soak here to help them recover from the hard workout. The players, meanwhile, finish up practice and walk over to the tub. They peel off sweaty shirts and socks and climb in. On their knees, the water waist deep, the tub holds seven guys. Someone grabs another bag of ice.
Dump it in, kids.
And dumps it in.
Oh.
What's it feel like?
A burning sensation until you go numb. Then it feels great.
That's defender Mark Grisella. Team captain Matt Mahoney seems non-committal about whether the ice bath actually helps recovery.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. Some people say it doesn't, some people say it does. I think it works. I think it's worth doing. I think it's worth a try.
Kendall Stewart, the athletic trainer, doesn't give them much choice about whether they try it or not.
You can stop inflammation at a lower level if you can get someone's muscles to relax and not be overactive, which you would see knots, you would see spasms, and potentially cramping. If I can get all those factors to go away simply by putting someone in an ice tub for 8 to 10 minutes, even if it is a little bit uncomfortable.
It's worth it, he says. And to be clear, this isn't Stewart's special brand of healing voodoo. For decades, ice baths have been totally standard practice for professional and many collegiate athletic programs. And now some institutions have high-tech cold rooms for recovery or cold whirlpools. There are these chambers that use liquid nitrogen to cool the body and high-tech pants and gloves that circulate icy water without getting the athlete wet. No matter the method, the idea is athletes feel less soreness, experience less swelling, and can go hard again the next day.
This is more of a recovery mechanism that athletes will use and not a way to enhance performance.
That's Scott Gunter, a New Jersey-based athletic trainer that works with student and professional athletes.
But when you think about it, if they are able to recover better, then that next practice they're able to actually give it a little bit more and push themselves. And so in that sense, I guess it can enhance your performance.
Although cold therapy has been used for years, nobody knew exactly what was happening in the body to drive that restoration. Dr. Brian Sennett, chief of sports medicine at the University of Pennsylvania, says understanding of the processes is improving.
It really is an effect on the brain and the central nervous system, an effect on the heart, and the strain on our heart system, which we call the cardiovascular system. And the last area, it's also potentially a way to remove breakdown products that build up during exercise.
Let's start with the brain.
There are certain things that get altered chemically in your brain with increasing core temperature.
Those things include serotonin and dopamine, the same chemicals that cause depression when not balanced. Changes in the ratio of those chemicals can also increase our sense of fatigue. So the theory is if an athlete feels like fatigue levels are low, then he or she will perform better.
Sometimes we ask athletes, how do you feel? And they say, I feel good today. And what does that mean? It really means that their perception of their energy levels and their fatigue is like optimal. And many times that's because of what's really going on in the brain, not in their skin, not in their muscles, not in the things downstream. It's really how they feel in their brain.
Then there's the heart. The heart pumps blood throughout the body, sending more of it to the areas that need it at any given moment. For example, when you're eating, more blood goes to your stomach to help digest. And when you're exercising, more blood flows from the core and the organs located there to the skin and muscles. But when the exercise is over,
we want to drive the fluid and the blood from our skin in that periphery back into the central system.
The cold tightens the blood vessels, pushing blood back into the core of the body and to the heart. With more blood flowing to it, the heart doesn't have to work as hard and can start recovering normal operation quicker. The final area of recovery is removing exercise-induced buildup of things like lactic acid and other potentially harmful molecules. Changes in pressure inside the tissue could help drive them out. Even though there's a better understanding of what's happening in the body when an athlete takes a cold plunge, there's still no exact guidelines for how to apply cold therapy. There's no consensus on the temperature that's most effective, and trainers I spoke with recommended anywhere between 8 and 30 minutes as the optimal amount of time to use the therapy. Scott Gunter, the athletic trainer again.
A lot of athletes are superstitious in nature, so they may have a specific ice bath that they want to get into, specific temperature, specific amount of time, and then the next day they had a good game.
In other words, like anything in sport, there's still a bit of hocus pocus involved. For The Pulse, I'm Irina Zhurov.